The Lord is good. He is pleasurable. He is delightful. He is really good. He is really sweet. What He wants to do is reveal Himself to you. But you got to be willing to open your heart, open your life to Him, and allow Him to do so. And when you taste and see how good the Lord is, you'll be just as crazy as everybody else in here. Come on, the Lord is good. And again, He's not good just because He did something good for me today. You know, He's just not good because it's sunny outside. He's not just good because He gave me something nice, you know. It's who He is. He's good. And that's why we want to know Him. Isn't it true that we really want to know people who we know really love us? What God wants to do is reveal to us not only who He is, but as we begin to see who He is and we begin to have revelation of who He is, we begin to see a reflection, as in a mirror, of the glory of Christ that begins to reveal to us who we now are in Him. Did that make sense? We are being changed from glory to glory as we are looking into the face of Jesus Christ, as we are looking, if you will, into His reflection. We are being transformed. We are taking on more and more of His characteristics, His likeness. We are to be Christ-like. We are to be like the one we love. You know, you've heard it said before, but as you've been married for several years, and the longer you've been married and been together, the more you start to even look like each other. Come on, say amen. We do. We start to... Some of you are looking like, oh, I hope not. No, I'm sorry, honey, all right? I'm really sorry. As you spend time, you know, in union with a person, you begin to, in a sense, become one with that person, molded with that person. You begin to actually transfer characteristics. That's why sex outside of marriage is a really horrible thing. Are you with me? I know it got quiet just now, but marriage is to be pure. And marriage is a covenant between one man and one woman. And God designed it to be beautiful and sex to be a beautiful thing. But our identity is what God wants us to realize, who we truly are. Because if you don't know who you are as a person, then you spend your life either searching to find out who you are, or you abuse who you are. You misuse who you are. You end up wasting your life, wasting your time, doing things that are vain and empty and in the end fruitless. And at the end of the road, every man, woman, boy, and girl born throughout history is going to see Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to have a big smile on His face when He sees me. Oh, I know you. You know how He's going to know us? Because we're going to have His likeness. We're going to be like Him. I want to be like Him. Yes. And you cannot be like that person. You don't become united unless there is intimacy. Are you with me? In the Spirit, we have to be intimate with God. We have to be connected. We have to be worshipers in spirit. Amen. It's not enough just to give lip service to God or an intellectual assent and a belief that, yeah, I believe He's there. He exists somewhere. He's up there somewhere. But you must know Him even as two who are intimate know each other. And through intimacy with God, there is a release of His life in you that changes your characteristics. It changes who you are, transforms you into somebody else. I don't want to be who I was. Amen? We are becoming more and more like Jesus. We have a new nature in Christ. And so, identity is very important that we understand our identity. In Christ, we receive a new identity. And this identity has to be discovered. And it's through a process called the renewing of the mind. It's a discovery of who we really are, who God says we are, and not what others may have said. Sometimes our identity is based upon what others have said. The opinions of men sometimes form our identity. If you've been picked on, if you've been put down, if you've been called names, sometimes you can begin to receive an identity that God has not given you, but that the enemy of your soul has given you in order to destroy you and to prevent you from becoming who you really are in Christ. What the devil wants to do is give you a false identity, and he wants to stop the flow of God's identity from flowing out of you and touching the world. So he lies, and he tells you things that are not true about yourself. So you, if you are not careful, and if you don't know what God says about you, hello, then you can just start believing whatever that thing in your head is saying. How many are hearing voices? I hear more than God's voice, but yes, I also hear God's voice. But we have to discern what voice is of God and what is not. Amen? Yeah. And in order for you and I to know who we are in Christ, we need to know who Christ is. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 gives a bit of an explanation who Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. How many know that Buddha cannot claim to be before all things? Amen? No other God can make this claim, because he is the eternal God who was manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, which being interpreted, what? God with us. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things that he may have the preeminence. Now, that verse 18 in the New Living Translation puts it this way. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Amen? Now, we know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Right? But that does not mean there's a contradiction. What that means is he is the first to bodily, amen, actually literally die, go into hell, amen, receive the keys of death, hell, and the grave, come back up, amen, in bodily form, and we now have a God-man in the heavens. Fully God, fully man. He is the bridge. He is the intermediator between God and man. Heaven and earth have come together in Christ Jesus. And so you and I are complete in the complete one. Heaven and earth has come together in Christ. And what we need to know is that is true for you. You need to understand who you are in Christ, what your new identity is. Colossians 3:10 says, we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. We have to first learn. We have to have received the knowledge of God to understand who he is. Has not God chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost? Has not God chosen his word, amen, as a means of reaching in and touching hearts of people? Words are powerful. Words transform people. They're either going to build or they're going to destroy. How many know the word of God does not destroy, amen, except the flesh and the devil? According to the image of him who created this new man, we are receiving a revelation of who Christ is. As we look into Him, as we study Him, as we inquire about Him, as we pray and ask for God to reveal Himself to us, as we get a glimpse of Him, we begin to see a little bit more about who we then become in Christ. Why? Because we are to become like Jesus. We are to be transformed into His likeness. And you cannot be transformed into His likeness until you are having a visual, if you will, in your heart of His likeness. As looking in a mirror that reflects back. In other words, in the beginning, man was created in the image of God. But man was marred because of sin. So that image became what? Marred through sin. And so what Christ wants to do, and why He came, was to redeem us, to purchase us back from, amen, from our sin. He came to deliver us from that and brought us back into relationship with the Father so that we may now again walk in our true identity, which was God's intent from the beginning, that we would be like Him. That we would reflect His image in the world. That we would represent Him on the earth. So our identity as believers, those who are in Christ, those who have been born of His Spirit, is in the image of God. Now I know some people have a hard time. Some people think, oh, you're talking about we're God? What was God's intent from the beginning? That we be like Him. We were made in His image. Amen? He's God. Jesus, amen, is the head of the church. But we are members of His body. We make up His body on the earth. The head is in heaven. So we are connected into Him. And because we're connected into Him, then we have to have the image and the likeness of Christ. We have all bore the image of Adam, fallen man, amen? This body of flesh that we look at and we see it decaying day after day, amen? In the flesh we will all die. But in Christ we shall all be made alive. And what we are to do is reflect the image of Him who saved us, amen? Why is that possible? How is that possible? Because when you receive Christ, when Christ comes into your life, into your heart, the Bible says in Colossians that in Him dwells all the fullness. We are complete in the Godhead in Christ. And what needs to happen is there needs to be a revelation of Himself to us. And as we see Him, the more we see Him, the more we become like Him. And the more that we will actually show the attributes of Christ, reveal the attributes of Christ to the world. People need to see us, amen, as followers of Christ, followers of Jesus. Now, they're not going to consider us followers of Jesus, well, not in the right sense, just because we're do-gooders. Are you with me? Because we do a lot of good works. I want to suggest to you that the good works that God really wants is the works that are done by His Spirit because we are abiding in Him. There's a manifestation of His glory, of His grace through a life. Amen? Jesus said to them that believe on Me, as the Scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. When Christ comes to dwell within us, hallelujah, there is a river on the inside of us. Amen. But if we do not understand our identity and we do not believe what God says about us and we start believing what the devil says and what others say about us and we accept a marred identity, then it stops the flow of God's presence through your life. Because we fall under a false concept and an identity that is not true, which oftentimes brings condemnation and fear. That brings shame and guilt. How many know God came to deliver us from that? God wants you to have confidence not in self, but in Him alone. Faith in Christ alone liberates your soul. I know we realize we have in Christ, His Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside. What needs to happen is there needs to be intimacy. There needs to be union. There needs to be worship. Amen? That's why the Bible says, singing in your heart, making melody unto the Lord. Yes. We come before Him with words, folks. Words are powerful. We line up our conversation, we line up our speech with what God is saying, and there's life. There's true intimacy when we are in agreement with the Spirit. And when we are in agreement with the Spirit, there is fruit. There is life. Hello? When a man and woman are intimate, there's the possibility of life. Would you say amen? How are we going to reproduce in the earth? How are we going to bear fruit? How are we going to make Jesus known? Through intimacy, through worship. And out of that, the manifestation of His fragrance in all places as we go. Understanding that inside of us is a river of life. Understanding that we are containers for heaven. People are looking for heaven. Hello. We're looking for heaven. Heaven is in Christ. Heaven would not be heaven without Christ. Does He not light up heaven? Is it not the glory of the Lord that lights up heaven? Amen? And heaven is in your heart if you're in Christ. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Examine yourself today whether you're really in the faith or not. Is Christ really in you? Or is it just maybe an intellectual assent? And I agree with some things and some things I don't agree with. And I know God is there. I've heard a lot of people, and I worked with a lot of elderly people who at the end of the years would say, well, I know God has a purpose for me, otherwise I wouldn't still be here. And they've been through a lot of things, and I would agree. Absolutely, God does have a purpose for you. But God's purpose is not that you would be perpetually wondering what your purpose is. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know what your purpose is, you need to look in the face of Jesus. You need to look into the Word of God and let God begin to change and transform your thinking through the Word of God. Amen? And you'll find yourself, whatever you're full of will come out. Come on. A lot of folks, and I at one time was full of all kinds of other stuff, and that's what came out. But now I'm filling up on Jesus, filling up on His Word. Colossians 3:10 in the New Living Translation says, in the place of the evil nature, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ. How many realize that you cannot be transformed unless you're learning of Him who created this new nature within you? So you may be born of the Spirit, but you're not going to come into agreement with God, into union, into intimacy with God, without an understanding of who He really is. Without the revelation of how much God is in love with you, even. That He's desirable, that He's pleasurable, that He's someone you want to hang out with. He's someone you want to walk your life with. Amen? You see, some people don't understand that when I say God is pleasurable. And the reason why is because they have a marred perception. They have accepted a marred identity. Even Christians who have received Christ and yet all this other junk has come in and it has marred their view of who God is. And so we are being renewed in the spirit of our mind through the transforming work of the Spirit in the Word of God. Amen? So that we begin to think from heaven and not from earth. Our thoughts become heavenly, not earthly. Are you with me? We are raised up together with Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, that means there's no veil any longer, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As we're looking into Him, we're being transformed into that same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we are in the process of discovering who we are in Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, to them, to the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, God had them erect a temple made with hands. Amen? And that temple was to show a picture of Christ. They didn't understand everything. They just obeyed what the Lord told them to do. But what that was pointing to was the day when God would possess, amen, a people. And we would become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that glory, that Shekinah glory of God, would reside in a people who obey Him. A people who are intimate with Him. A people who would agree with Him. A people who would believe the word of the Lord. Faith is believing what God said. If you don't believe what He said, it can't be yours. God will not honor unbelief. Wow. Not only, folks, are we to be containers of God's glory, but we are to be dispensers of God's glory. Now, I want you to think about something. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil repeatedly attacked Jesus' identity. If you be the Son of God, command these stones. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Remember? Why did he question his identity? Because that's what he does. He's a deceiver. He wants to give you a false identity. He wants you to doubt who you are. But the Father knew. And Jesus knew, because the Father is the one who at his baptism validated the Son and said, you are. This is my beloved Son. Amen? In whom I'm well pleased. Jesus knew who he was. And so when he got in there and he immediately went into the wilderness, the first thing the devil says, if you're truly the Son of God. How many have been struggling in your own life with your identity as a believer? Sometimes we struggle with that as to who I really am. Because sometimes we're looking around at our circumstances, we're looking at things that are happening around us, and we've been praying, we've been doing this, and we've been doing that, and nothing seems to be changing, nothing seems to be happening. And how many know that those are the times of testing in your life? And testing is a good thing, because with a test comes a promotion if you handle it right. Jesus was tempted after he had fasted in the wilderness, and he began to get challenged about his identity. And the reason why the devil wants to challenge you in your identity is because he wants you to doubt who you are. Because if he can get you to doubt who you are, you're basically doubting the word of God. You're doubting what God said about you. You're accepting an identity that does not line up with the word of God. And therefore, the enemy has now a foothold in your life. And he will keep you down, and he'll keep you shut up, and he'll keep you shut down. And he will try to throw fear and condemnation on you. I know I'm speaking to somebody today. Isn't that what he does? He attempts to sow doubt into your heart and mind concerning your spiritual identity, because he wants to stop the flow of God's Spirit out of you through unbelief. How many know that 1 John 5:4 says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world? Faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in the truth. It's a battle of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When you know what is really real, what is the real deal, what God says about you, amen? And you refuse anything else that doesn't line up with what God says about you, then you are walking in faith, and the just shall live by faith. And when we walk in faith, there will be evidence, there will be a release of that reservoir of life and power out of you to touch the world. Yeah. I refuse. As soon as you get to pray for somebody, Oh, come on, the devil's going to come up and try to say, ain't it? God's not going to listen to you. God's not in you. God's not with you. God doesn't hear you. Throw that thing out. That's a false identity. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe what God said about me. Who am I in Christ? I am a new creation who is dead to sin, risen with Christ, and seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Romans 6, 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In other words, you don't have to. You don't have to be dominated by sin anymore. Or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dead with Christ, risen with Christ, ascended with Christ, seated, amen, with Christ in the heavenly places. And we are to think from that place, think from heaven, not from the earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Come on, say every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places in Christ. Oh, the devil hates this message. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to be beat down. He wants you to live in fear and condemnation. He doesn't want you to receive and agree with what God said about you. Amen? And what the cross really represents, it means freedom from death. It means freedom from sin's power and the penalty. Amen? It means separated unto God through new life, through new birth in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. In Him I live. He's my life. I agree with what God says. I speak what God says. I do what God says. And I represent God, amen, in the earth. I reflect His image. As I come to know Him more and more we begin to reflect His image. It's the knowledge, you see, of truth. How many know that truth, right, is what's really real? That's what changes the way we think. Isn't it true that it's our thinking that gets us in trouble most of the time? Stinking thinking. If we're not thinking the right thoughts, we're not thinking in alignment with God, because that's what the enemy does, is he wants to plant the wrong thinking, the wrong thoughts. And he will use people to speak into your life. He will use people to pronounce word curses on you by things that have been said in your past. How many know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world? How many know that every curse is canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ, canceled at the cross? You just put that thing to death and say, that old man is dead. You can't hurt, you can't offend a dead man. Amen? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's my new identity. I will walk in faith in the Son of God. I know that He's with me. I know that He's in me. And I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I know that out of my belly is going to flow rivers of living water as I agree with the Father. Amen. In the Godhead, in Jesus. Hallelujah. Most shut up, O'Connor. I want to say one more thing this morning, folks. We need to reverse the lie. I want you to hear this, that we are merely saved sinners. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. what has happened with that line often is people have used that as an excuse for their flesh. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How about this? Unworthy of anything. I'm just a saved sinner, unworthy of anything. Come on, we've repeated that stuff. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, unworthy of anything. Folks, let me ask you a question. If God didn't think you were worth it, why would He go to what He did? Amen. To send Jesus to die in your place. What has happened is that sin has marred us, our identity. And God came to redeem us. To create a brand new race, if you will, of spirit beings. His bride, His people. So to cancel out the old, to bring in the new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Folks, there's no room for, there's no gray area there. If you are truly born again, you will be a new creation. The old has passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a matter of aligning your thinking with what God says about you, adapting and holding on to your new identity in Christ and saying, I'm going to live in my new identity. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah. And operate from the new man, the new nature. Walk in that new life. And when the devil tries to come with condemnation and fear and all this other stuff and doubt, if it doesn't line up with what God says about you, throw it out. Hey, that even rhymed. If it's full of doubt, throw it out. If we focus, listen, on a false sense of being unworthy, we begin to contradict in our thinking what God says about us. Isn't that true that James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? Come on. That's one of the big battles we have, isn't it? Double-mindedness sometimes. Man, one day it's like you're there, you're connected with Jesus, you're walking. And then the next day, you know, well, what happened? I don't even know if God loves me anymore. You know, you got to come up and get saved for the 500th time, you know? Come on. Live in a constant sense of dread and unworthiness and not measuring up. Well, guess what? Your standard of righteousness has never been you. Your righteousness has never been enough. Our righteousness is in Christ. He has become for us righteousness. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? He makes me righteous. And my agreement with Him produces the fruit of that righteousness. My believing and acting upon what God said produces fruit of righteousness. My intimacy is simply me believing and agreeing with God. We walk in relationship and consent. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? No. Life and peace is those who have their mind stayed, amen, in heavenly places. If you've been set free in Christ, keep your mind on things above. Keep your mind there. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, we'll finish with this. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. And in verse 9 it says, for in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I want you to look at this, verse 10. And you, who's He talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the redeemed ones. He's talking to those who are born again. And you are complete in Him. Yes. Who is the head of all principality and power. I don't care what your theology has been. Take a look at what God says. Believe what God says. It's safe. Come on, say amen. For in Him dwells all the fullness, and you are complete in Him. God wants us to find our identity in Him. We are complete as we abide in the complete One. Oh. We are complete as we abide in the complete One. Who makes me complete? Jesus. The problem is you've been trying to make yourself complete. Instead of accepting by faith what God has already declared over you. When you came to Him as a repentant sinner, unworthy, because you were in a marred state and you were unholy and could not be in His presence. But once you have come to Christ, He said, I will no wise cast you out. And He received you into fellowship. Now you need to obey the new identity in Christ. You need to understand who you are. And the problem is there's double-mindedness where people are bouncing back and forth. They want to go back to the old. They want to live in the new. They want to live in the old. They want to live. How do you know that? How many know that in Romans 6, I believe it's verse 11, says, but sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law. But you're under the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Several weeks back, I talked about holiness. Remember, we talked about what holiness is. Holiness really means integration. When what you say, what you think, what you speak, amen, and what you're doing all line up, that person is a whole person. Who you are, what you say, what you do, all lines up. That person is complete. Amen? What God says never contradicts who He is. What He does never contradicts who He is. He is complete. He's holy. And so we need to be integrated into the Holy One. Our holiness is in Christ alone. The Pharisees thought they were holy. He says, you're just a whitewashed tomb. On the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. What you need is the Holy One inside of you. Amen. They didn't understand that Jesus was talking about a whole new thing here. He said, the old is going away. Amen. It's not about a temple made by hands. It's you're going to become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to write my laws in your hearts. And your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Hallelujah.
Receive that truth today. Receive that revelation. Receive what God has said. And refuse the lie of the devil. Thank you, Lord.